Hi there and welcome to the new show, episode 94. It's called the All Range Mode Podcast. Same as what you knew it all 94 episodes ago, 93.
My name's Joe.
I'm TJ.
And I'm Chad, your host for the evening.
Welcome to the
Oh, yeah. What do you guys want to talk about first?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, it's 2015. I feel like...
Finally.
Yeah. Welcome to the best year of video games.
Should we start with maybe Kyle's question? I think maybe that's a good idea.
Sure.
Kyle, recent new owner of... TJ, can you sign my phone into your Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Welcome to PS4, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, recent owner of PS4, and he's asking me, what are you going to play now? Here, give me that.
Why are you on AT&T?
I don't know.
AT&T's and Tim.
Oh, wait, I want to be on airplane, Wi-Fi. No, I want to be on airplane and Wi-Fi. Now that's what's up.
You suck at phones.
So I'm bringing up a list of the games that are coming out. Oh, I am on it.
Yeah, you should be.
All right.
Well, let's think of off the top of our heads, what are the games that we're looking forward to?
The 2015.
Order? Well, hang on.
The Witcher.
Are we jumping into games?
No, just Kyle's question.
Okay,
this is games.
No.
Kyle's question is games.
Release
can't
calendar.
Not talk about games, though. Talk
no,
about
it's
Kyle's
feedback.
Question.
It's feedback.
Shit.
Bullshit. So Kyle asked me, what are you playing? I didn't have an answer for him.
I mean, Chad and I had an answer.
Yeah, you guys play Battlefield.
Yeah.
Right.
And we might end up playing Hardline for 2 weeks.
That's a good question, though. Are you going to play Hardline for 2 weeks?
I'm buying it.
No.
That's all I need to hear.
I'm buying it.
No,
of course I'm buying it. If it's terrible, I'll go back to Battlefield 4, and so will the rest of the community.
I told him I was a little bit afraid of this drought. This drought that I think is going to last us till May. You guys can disagree.
Dan would say March.
Why would Dan say March?
I don't know. He always says March, November.
When does, is it February that Last of Us comes out, or whatever the fuck that game is? Order?
The Order of February.
The Order looks amazing. We were talking about it earlier, how all games look like shit.
It's rental trash, is what it is. It's going to last you...
I hope it's not rental
one
trash.
1 week. Oh. And you're going to play it with who?
I don't give a shit about playing it with anybody.
Well, what game are we going to play in together? That's the question.
That's what he asked?
Yeah.
I thought you said, what games are you playing in 2015?
Well, what games are you playing in 2015? So The Order is one?
The Order, The Witcher, Hardline.
The Witcher is May. We're talking about what games are coming out before May.
You just fucking said 2015.
I'm looking it up. Here we go.
VG releases.
VG releases has not been updated.
Really?
Yeah.
What's VG releases?
That's videogamereleases.com, idiot.
This is the one that I see. As soon as it's...
What is it?
TJ's terrible internet. Just kidding. I have really bad internet. Okay.
Let's cheers to that.
Let me read this. January. Warhammer. Okay, interrupt me when you're going to play it. When you're actually like, oh, fuck, I'm playing that shit.
Okay.
Warhammer.
What?
Chariot for Wii U. Funk of Titans.
What the fuck?
All Leader. I'm not going to read that. Duke Nukem 3D Megaton Edition. Blackguards 2, Citizens of Earth. Actually, I've heard of that. That's January? January 20th. Resident Evil Remastered, Saints Row 4, re-elected.
I might pick up Resident Evil.
I might do that.
I read about
that. Don't do that. Same one they released for GameCube.
I started on Resident Evil 2. I went back and played 1. I rented it for a weekend when I used to rent games back in the day, in 1998. And I never beat it. And I might go back and play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to investigate more.
What's this Dying Light game? Which one is that?
That's the...
It's the one where your nighttime sucks balls. You get your ass kicked.
That's the one where... Or the other, what did they make before? Dead Island? Yeah.
Oh, really?
The Dead Island series, where you're just running around.
Is that Mirror's Edge with zombies?
Mirror's Edge with zombies.
Are you playing it?
I don't know enough.
That's a no. That's two solid no's.
I'm not very excited after Evil Within. The horror genre is taking
off. After I seen more video of it, I wasn't excited.
Grim Fandango, I kind of want it to be free, but that's a good game. But it's an old re-release.
You got a mandatory play as that game.
I'm buying it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you play the original?
No, but it was the reason why I wanted to buy a fucking Windows 95 computer.
Nice. All right, that's it for January. So two games in January. And then we got Resident Evil, two remakes in January. And Dying Light, which no one's buying.
No.
Two remakes?
Grim Fandango and Resident Evil.
Oh, I thought you said two Resident Evil remakes.
February, Dragon Ball Z, Evolve. Nope. Is Evolve, who's playing Evolve?
I might rent that.
That means no. TJ, are you buying Evolve? Are you excited and you're buying it?
It depends on you guys.
That's
actually.
Another no.
That's a good.
It probably is a no. Actually.
That'd be a good game if there were four of us, it's four people absolutely. And one beast.
It would be a good game.
Fucking amazing.
It'd be a good game if you still worked with James and you could get the hookups. But we're never getting that game. We're never getting in the
buy
same
Smash
room.
Brothers, no, I'm
but
probably we, not buying a ball.
When's less than the four of us were in the same room?
You don't need to be in the same room.
You don't need.
It's like left.
Oh yeah, that's weird. I just thought we'd all have to sit on the same couch.
But we'd all have to buy the game.
Ooh,
that's for five copies of the game.
No, that's not happening.
That no.
Probably not.
No, I'll make fun of it, but I'm not going to play it.
Dan will play it with some whoizies that he knows.
And he'll buy it for Xbox.
And say it's amazing, and I'll ever play it again.
Kirby, Dead or Alive, that's another thing, is Doug got the Wii U, and he's on my ass. What games are we playing? I'm like, there's none. There's no game.
You don't play it together. You play it by yourself. Wii U is solitary.
I'm actually going to mail him some games, I think. He deserves them. But he's like, do you want to get online and play Mario Kart? No.
Doesn't work like that, Doug.
You should ask me.
It really doesn't work like that. He could ask you. Hey, there's another one. Okay, here's the big hitter now. The Order.
Buying it.
I'll probably buy it, yeah.
If it gets a 5.0...
It's rental trash.
Or it's not reviewed till 2 p.m. the day of release.
I don't have confidence that game will be good.
Yeah, I'm scared.
We don't know what the gameplay's like. So it will rely on the review.
Doug says it's peanuts, but Ground Zeroes is his game of the year 2014.
I don't know if I trust Doug yet. I haven't heard enough.
Ground Zeroes was terrible. I paid $6 for it, and I played it for 5 minutes. I wasn't in it.
You know what? That's a market game.
Actually, you know what? I actually played it for 20 minutes. I gave it a solid 20 minutes.
This has been the worst 20 minutes of my whole gaming
game. Oh, you know what? It was kind of fun.
Actually, I ran around like setting off alarms and then hiding.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I hated it because I wasn't playing it correctly.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
I didn't know how.
He's never buying it.
March, Blade Storm, Resident Evil Revelations 2, Resident Evil Revelation. Oh, it's episodic Resident Evil stuff.
It's like a Telltale.
That's horrible. It's weird. Battlefield Hardline. You guys seem to think you're going to enjoy that. Devil May Cry, which disappeared.
Two?
Oh, wait a minute. Definitive Edition. That's a release?
Yeah, DMC from 2 years ago.
Dan bought that game and never put it in the system. It's probably still in the plastic. I just bore it from Dan.
What's Final Fantasy Type O?
It's Final Fantasy 13 2 that they renamed or something. I don't know. It's some stupid game.
The one that doesn't work and they tried it.
Is it coming to PS4?
No, they just took so long to release it that they had changed the name because that game became old. Yeah, I don't know what's coming to be honest.
Is that Versus?
Yeah, that was Versus, I think.
Oh, that Bloodborne game comes out in March.
Not buying it.
Not least. April, Dark Souls 2, Mortal Kombat X. Mortal Kombat
Dark
X could...
Dark Souls 2 remaster? Oh, because I never made it.
Scholar of the First Sin Edition.
Huh.
Scholar?
Like... Scholar.
Scholar?
Scholar.
Oh, Scholar sounds dope.
May, The Witcher 3. It's the only announced game that's coming out in May.
And that's for sure, man.
That is $6
mandatory.
Off on PSN right now, which scares me.
Witcher?
Yeah, you can pre-order it for $53.99. Why?
I don't see any problem with that.
The game is not yet released. Why are they... There's already a discount on it.
June, Batman.
That's just PlayStation.
That's bad news. That's
nothing confirmed for the rest of the year, but we do have Assassin's Creed Rogue. Oh, that's PC only. What else we got here? Battleborn?
Rogue came out on 360 and PS3. That was that last-gen shitty game.
Oh, really?
Now they're putting it on PC and it won't work either.
If Broken Age comes out before May, I will play that.
Yeah, why is it not out yet?
What else we got here? These are the unannounced, undated, the Division. But these could be the end of the year. I didn't even want to look into this list.
Keep doing it, though.
Bygrim. Everyone's gone to Rapture.
What do you mean, Bygrim?
Online.
Fortnite. Fortnite for PC. Who? Geometry Wars 3.
Got it.
Oh, that's the one that's out right now? Never mind, then.
It's the best game made.
Oh, it comes out for Vita sometime in
2015. Ooh, Vita.
Halo 5 Guardians.
Horrible. It'd be so bad.
Halo 5 Guardians. Hotline Miami 2. Human Element. These are the names I recognize. Miami
2, absolutely. Cannot wait.
Legends of Zelda.
Buy it.
Majora's Mask 3D. What else?
I'll buy that. I will definitely buy that. I can't wait to play a fucking game over again.
I recognize a lot of these names, but they're not worth mentioning. Phantom Pain. No Man's Sky. Ollie 2.
Not coming out.
What 2?
Ollie 2. There'll be a Call of Duty game.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 2.
And the one that's on everyone's minds. Here's the game that if it comes out when it is supposed to come out this spring, will save me from my May drought. And this is the game that we're all going to play. This is what we're all going to play together.
Oh, okay.
This is the game.
Should we introduce the concept of mandatory watch at this point, or play at this point? Or is that just a pipe dream?
Okay, you guys each take a guess at what the game is, and I'll tell you who's closest.
I have no idea.
Give me a genre.
Sports.
Blow it. Sports?
PGA Tour.
Really?
We're all playing it together, guys.
I could have guessed 1,000 games, and I never would have guessed that. Why PGA Tour?
It's going to be so good.
No, that's
it's not. The first next gen?
Yeah.
Chad, swing already. I want to go. Hang on, guys. I'm testing the wind.
Just chill the fuck out, Battlefield 4 fucking Twitch gaming
EA
aggressive.
Okay. EA should the bet on their sports franchises on next gen.
Because it's amazing.
Remember how Peanuts NHL was?
NHL's fine. I actually own it.
You bought it?
No, I got it as a gift.
Fucker.
Sell it.
Spend the 20, 12 bucks and buy Battlefield 4 again.
And then that's it. That's all I want to talk about. There's more on this list. Yoshi's World. Yoshi's Woolly World. Silent Hills. Anyway.
Silent Hills.
The answer is no. There's nothing we're going to be playing. I'll play that. There's nothing we're going to play together. I'm not playing a single game with you guys.
Except for Battlefield Hardline.
Halo for
5
minutes
week.
With Tim and Dan.
No. PGA Tour.
That might be a good idea.
I'm willing to give anything
yes.
a try.
You're coming around. I haven't said a single thing about
it. He's planted the seeds.
The birds, the surround sound, just the conversation.
Good shot, Joe.
We don't have to talk about the game. We're out on the links.
Just the sound of cracking beers through headphones.
That's the game, my friends.
That would be really fun.
Can we just go golfing?
Let's go real. We should really fucking go paintballing, man.
There's a place on Walker Road, right?
There's a forest in my backyard.
There's that too, which is also free.
Free and way better. We can just dress as
I
dirt.
Disagree.
We can dress as dirt suits. Why is that not good?
Because you don't have freshly, like, maintained grounds.
You gotta own guns.
Oh, you're talking about paintball. I was talking about golf still.
Oh, I got a sick forest, bro.
No, I don't own a paintball gun. Nor will I
buy one for $70. We each buy the exact same paintball gun.
Relax, Kyle.
So nobody has an advantage.
No.
I'm going to modify my trigger.
Sounds like a nightmare. I don't want to fucking not hang out.
It's all skill-based.
No.
I would love if I was better at paintball in real life than you and Dan. I would never play Battlefield again.
There's no fucking way around it.
Just kidding.
Yeah, the one guy who's really good is like, you guys want to go out again sometime? It'd be awesome.
Fuck you, you killed me last time. I can't. Still can't breathe out of my throat.
Well, there it is. There's what we're going to play.
Well, we should do a...
We'll do a proper anticipated games episode.
Right, and I think we should do it like the second
pretty
quarter
soon.
Of the year, like we did last year. You know what I mean? Let some announcements come out, and we'll have a top most anticipated.
Fallout 4 remains TJ's number one 2 years in a row.
My list is going to be solid this year. I'm gonna learn
your
from my mistakes.
List?
No, trust me. I cannot wait.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some movies.
All right, movies.
Hey TJ, let's talk about some movies.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Did you catch the interview at all?
No.
I did.
Yeah.
And I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was really good, man. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't a huge fan of Pineapple Express or This Is the End, which I guess are the Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen written, like, buddy comedies with, I mean, James Franco's in all of them, but Seth Rogen's, like, the star of those movies, right?
Right.
But particularly why I like this one so much is James Franco seems to be the lead, like, and Seth Rogen's the straight man.
Okay.
So it's like Franco, for the first time, really gets to kind of take the reins as like the funny person in the movie, and I thought he was awesome. Like, his character alone is probably the reason why I like it the best. Like, it had the one-liners, like, that I was just, like, I feel like, you know how if you hang out with somebody over a long period of time, like, you start to pick up on, like, their mannerisms and their kind of comedy, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I was in it. I was just like, I want to be like this guy. I want to say the same jokes that this guy says. And I was on fucking board with it, man. It was really good. I don't want to talk about it too much. But it's weird, like, not buying into the hype. Like, do I like it just because this exclusivity thing where I happen to have seen it, you know? And I mean, it's widespread.
Would make you like it less. Like, I'm going to be judging it more based on that. Trying to dial back my judgment, saying, like, listen, this judgment is not about the quality of the comedy. It's something else, political.
Yeah. I mean, there's two extremes that you could go to going to that movie. Like, saying, I can't believe they made such a big deal. It's going to be shit. Or, like, oh my God, they didn't release it. It's so amazing. Like, you have to see it. You have to work hard to see it. You know, that whole thing?
Yeah.
But I feel like I did a pretty good job of just going in dry. Like, I didn't have any reservations either way. And yeah, like, I just fucking loved it. Like, I was telling Chad, the Franco keeps referencing Lord of the Rings, and like, I was just like, okay, like, is this real? And like, but then they push the joke more and more and more. It seems like they wrote it and then filmed it chronologically, because every single joke evolves and like gets better and more funny throughout the movie, which is kind of rare for those movies, because it's all about how many jokes can they tell in the scene. Right. You know, like, when they're all, like, on set and they're all making jokes. But, like, it seemed that every time there was a good joke, it evolved. Like, there's a, it won't be funny, but there's, like, a honey-dicking joke. It's fucking funny, dude. It's weird explaining to people who haven't seen the movie, but the honey-dicking joke is amazing. Fucking Franco's on point, and it's a lot of fun. It did get weird at the end, though. Like, weird, like, okay, this is a little, like, excessive, like, the violence.
Okay.
And, you know, at no point did I feel like anybody could be offended by the North Korea stuff, or is it South Korea?
North Korea.
Sorry, just showing my true colors here. I know nothing about the real world. But yeah, the North Korea stuff, like, I was like, this is not offensive at all. And, like, at the end, it kind of gets offensive. Like, when the violence kind of kicks in. Like, those movies, Pineapple Express, This Is the End, and The Interview Now, it seems like the third act, there's lots of excessive violence.
Okay.
And it's just, like, Korean soldiers, like, getting killed and stuff. And then there's the inevitable money shot, which is probably why it's not in theaters. But it was cool, man. I thought it was really funny.
Well, I'm glad I have a comedy to watch that's worthwhile. I liked both Pineapple Express and This Is the End.
I liked them too, but they were just kind of like, I'm glad to have seen it, but that's it. But this movie, I'm actually like, you need, it's funny. Watch it.
Okay.
And yeah, James Franco's amazing. He's really good.
I've downloaded it. I haven't seen This Is the End, but I'm not crazy about Pineapple Express.
I'm not crazy about it either.
I don't understand it.
Something I noticed, came out, and I remember liking it back then.
Halfway through this movie, I realized, I'm like, there's no drug comedy at all. Like, there's some, but it's not about, like, drugs. Like, it's, that's not what the story's about, so that part of it is just not in it. It's kind of cool.
Psych.
So,
rate it?
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. We do a 5-star rating, right? Yeah, 4 out of 5.
7?
No, out of 10, it's 7.9. I'll go 8. I'll go 8.
That was your solid Metacritic review.
Yeah, I'll go 8.
Yeah, it was.
It's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Wow, I just totally, like, bailed on my, a 4 out of 5 is not an 8 out of 10.
Well, bam.
But it can be.
It can be. And, yeah, in the case of The Interview, it is.
Yeah, I was expecting you were like 8.5 or something.
8.1. It's an 8.1 out of 10.
Wait longer. He'll
4 out of 5. Anybody else got any other movies to talk about?
I watched 22 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like that crew just branches off and they make their own movies. And like they're all just kind of popular on their own now. Or sure. Famous on their own.
Right.
I dug it. It was okay.
Oh, you have seen it, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, I had low expectations, to be honest.
But, is it a lot like the first one?
It is in the sense that, like, I felt it was as good as the first one. The first one was okay, a good movie, funny. If you're looking for something funny to watch, watch 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Two is the same way. Like, they really played on, like, laughing at themselves for doing a sequel to some stupid
reboot. Really, it relies on the first one for a lot of the jokes.
Absolutely, it does. And they did a good job of making fun of themselves and playing on that comedy.
Well, that's cool.
And
Tatum's dope, though. Like, they redid, like, the Jedi scene. Like, in the first movie, they play with, like, fake lightsabers. That one scene where they're doing the Force.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah.
It's just guys pretending to choke each other. It was really funny. Another scene I thought was funny is, you watch Workaholics at all? I think you've seen it a few times.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Jillian. She's in it. She's and that whole scene with, like, where they thought they were doing a Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing, where Jonah Hill's fighting her, and she thinks that, like, he's trying to kiss her, like, they're fighting, but then it turns into, like, a love romance. And he's like, no, at no point was I trying to kiss you. And she's like, stop making those eyes at me. And then, like, he gets on top of her, and she thinks he's trying to bang her. It was just really funny. So there's some really good scenes in it.
Part of the that Sony hack, like, they want to take Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum and just put them in, like, different environments now. Like, they want, it's like their buddy cop, you know? So they were, I think one of the things was they wanted to meld that and Men in Black. It's like they wanted to make them versus aliens and shit. It's like, how can you possibly, like, that's where your head goes next. It's like, oh, what if we got Men in Black and put these guys in it? Like, is there no creativity at all? It's like, it's as bad as us thinking about new video games. It's like, it's this game plus this game makes game C.
Yeah. And that's the game I want. It's just two archetypes, right? Like, the fat Joker and then, like, the jock.
Yeah.
We'll just throw them in. That's what the ending was. The whole
credits. Yeah. All the sequel, like, posters.
23 Jump.
Yeah, Cooking School and shit. So finally, I mean, Chad, do you have any movies?
No, I didn't see shit.
The Road, man. The Road. Available on Netflix.
Okay, so you flipped through this on Netflix, and I read the synopsis when you did, and it talked about a post-apocalyptic world. So
absolutely,
it is. You want to give me the synopsis? Because that sells me right
there. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I didn't know it was any good when it came out. Just there was this movie, and then it was gone.
First of all, it's Viggo Mortensen and that kid from Apes.
The Hideous Beast.
The Hideous Beast from Apes, and Viggo Mortensen.
He's got the widest eyes, the scariest head.
It's Aragorn.
Oh, yeah, you pointed him out the other day.
Aragorn. And it's probably the most, I don't want to call it the most realistic, but it's definitely the most grounded look. Like, there is absolutely no fetishizing the end of the world. It's grim.
Yeah, it's fucking terrifying.
It's grim, and it's, like, you almost don't understand it, like, what their goal is or what their intention is. They're just surviving. They're just alive, this guy and his child. And
so we gotta get across the country and get to the water.
He wants to get to the water for some reason. I don't remember why.
Maybe there's something there.
But
clean.
What's crazy is how realistically they made the child uneducated, scared, like just a frightened boy who, like, is a crybaby and he doesn't understand things and he freaks out after looking in the mirror. Like, it's, and he's completely, completely dependent on his dad. And it's weird because, like, you think, you know, Walking Dead.
Carl. Huh?
Yeah, you think of
steps
Carl.
Up, yeah.
You think of Carl, who's like, okay, I'm pulling up. Like, I got to take care of this shit. Like, this kid is completely broken, and they explain in the movie that, like, right at the cusp of the I guess it was the apocalypse, but it wasn't any, like, grand apocalypse. It was just like
fire in the windows.
The world started to die. Like,
it's happening.
The same thing that kind of the same shit that was kind of going on in Interstellar,
which I haven't seen.
Oh well, the Earth is.
They see fire in the windows and they're like, "It's happening."
Yeah, the Earth is falling apart. Okay. It's like eating itself. You know, like the Earth is done.
Okay.
So, And then this, and you see like our Aragorn and his pregnant wife. So you know, like the son was born into this post-apocalyptic world, mm-hmm. and they just they play it off completely genuine. Like there's no like second guessing. Like how would he know this shit? Because he knows nothing. He's just this weird, scared kid. He's always asking his dad about like just very simple stuff. Like clearly the ideals and the values that like he's set in him like to survive. Like we're good guys. And like there's like he even creates like his own god with like the whole fire and the like you carry the fire, you carry the fire. And that's all the kid knows. It's really, really weird. Huh. But like it kept me interested in the kid because like it's not as if Aragorn could something could happen to him and the kid could just go on. It's like if Aragorn's done, then the kid's done.
This party's over.
Yeah, and like he's the whole movie they're carrying around a pistol with two bullets and it's a suicide weapon.
Right.
You know, like if shit hits the fan, then this is what we use to escape, to go see mom is what they related to. And there's some scenes, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking super dark. And what I...
It's so fucking realistic.
Yeah. What I narrow it down to is...
There's a headshot that's just...
Yeah.
Like it's
that's real. That's wild.
I'm like, oh!
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And
good fucking movie.
The drama in it... It's like I could really use I wish I could see some of that in Rick Grimes. You know, like it almost makes me not like Walking Dead more because of how glorified and dramatic it is and like how comic booky it is.
Right.
Like I would love it if instead of the arcs being all about the villains and like who do we have to kill now, it's more just like real, like what would actually happen. Like we got one episode where Rick was mourning. Actually, I guess we got more than one episode where Rick was mourning. What's her name?
Yeah, but that he was hallucinating.
And then it was very comic booky.
Stupid as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they're so far past that, right? They've elevated past that. They can't go back and make simple survival seem worthwhile.
A lot of cool cameos from like super high caliber actors.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Which was every time I saw one, I was like, this guy's going to be in the movie for the rest of the movie. And I guess that's kind of a spoiler alert. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't.
They aren't. That's okay.
But no, it was fucking cool, man. And like in these post-apocalyptic stories, you always expect your character to be the hero, who will somehow figure it out and make things great. But it's just every man going through this. It's wild, man.
Okay.
It's a 4 to 5.
I'm surprised you only give it a 4 after that review.
No, it's definitely a 4.
I'll watch it.
It might even be less than 4, but I'll give it a 4 just because of how of how
good
I loved it.
It's a good talker. The Road.
There's a lot of happy scenes where it's just like, oh fuck, they made it.
What's weird?
Just like oh no.
I would like to talk to you a little bit about it after you've seen it.
Yeah, I'll try to watch it this week or next.
Yeah, there's some revelations that I'd like to discuss that are kind of rare.
Oh, yeah?
As vague as I'm being.
I know what you mean, though. You're saying they're like new concepts. They're like unexplored.
So yeah.
That's always exciting when you find a movie that questions something you haven't questioned before or thought through, I guess.
Yeah. But, The Road.
Cool.
Want to talk about games?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Games. Somebody else go first.
I don't know what's up for games.
Halo 5 beta, I guess. I'll talk about a little bit.
It's huge.
It's pretty huge. Dan was, I don't know if he said it on the podcast, but he's like, are you excited for Halo 5 beta? And I'm like, meh, yeah, okay, fine. He's like, how are you not excited? And then Dan plays it 5 minutes.
First game hates it.
Never plays it again. And, well, and I'm liking it way more than he is.
But here's the thing.
5 minutes of my minutes.
Now... Halo 5 is up against, like, Halo 5, Destiny. It's like you've already got Destiny now.
Sure.
So what is Halo 5 going to bring you? Like, Halo 5 would stand alone if not for Destiny.
I disagree because, I don't know, I'm comparing Halo 5 to Halo 4. Because Halo is its own experience, it feels like Halo, and I just want it to be better than Halo 4, which is...
But Destiny feels like Halo.
Setting the bar low. No, It doesn't, though. It's so much faster, and you can do much more in Destiny.
There was nothing that was new.
No, they from what stole I played. So much from Destiny, I feel like.
Yeah,
the,
well,
the
yeah.
The Spark Charge is the Titan's charge, right? There's a Ground Pound, which is also the Titan's, one of his abilities.
There's a lot of stuff, like obviously, I played one match, one and a half, mm-hmm. maybe. I didn't get any experience with the way the Spartan controls now. Like, what you're saying, like those dodges and anything like that.
Right.
But, aside from that, the gameplay is the same. Like, if there's weapons drawn about, pick them up, shoot.
I think it's
throw some nades.
I think it is in the detail. Like, you can't call it Halo and make it feel like Destiny or Battlefield. Or
oh, no, for sure.
How does neither of these games' PvP have tanks and fucking, like...
That's big team battle.
Hold on. Yeah, yeah.
So that exists in Halo?
Yeah, but
not Destiny.
Exactly. Okay. Not Destiny.
They exist in Destiny.
Oh, no, sorry, you're right. They have two
PvP?
Vehicles. It's it's on one map, First Light or whatever, which... I don't know why.
Yeah, this First Light.
The Interceptors is the big tank, and then there's the smaller one, which is
you can
the
actually get in them.
Even
in
the Mars one too.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Mars.
Shows my ignorance again.
You're right. Yeah, there's two maps.
That one's fucking sweet. I like that one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Those are the best maps.
You think
in my opinion, I love those two maps.
Eh.
It's all like I was all about the big team battle. Like I can't. I don't do the close quarters shit because I can't. It's too fucking fast. It's too stupid. Like, there's nowhere to hide. It's just a circle. Guys are spawning behind you. You're getting shot everywhere. It's not my type of game.
Mm. No, like, yeah, I guess it's not.
I like kind of figuring my spot out in the game. Like, okay, I know where these guys are going to be, and I can just be
You around. Like having your back up against the wall.
Right.
Well, you can have your back up against the wall in Halo.
Okay, but in Halo, there's like four maps released, I think. Maybe five now. There's probably one spot in every map that you'd like, and the rest you'd hate. I've never seen smaller maps in a multiplayer game of this scale.
They are so tiny.
So tiny. You think about Midship being redone, and that's the smallest. They're all the size of Midship. Remember I told you they have a new game tape called Breakout?
Yeah.
It's even smaller. It's insane how small it is.
What do you do?
You get one life. Was it four players? Four versus four. When the four guys die, you win, and then that's one round. You need to win five rounds.
That's all it is.
And you're on like some floating space station, which is this big like open like circle, and you're just on the bottom level of it, and it's super tiny. It literally is like a training simulator where they've just got like a square block and a circle block and a ramp.
What is this?
And it's as wide. You can run across it in like less than 10 seconds easily.
Wow.
It's a new game type, and they introduced a new map for it as well.
Oh, this is in Halo.
In Halo, yeah.
It's pretty neat.
My point is, everything is really small in Halo, so you'd absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think about Halo games, it's a vast improvement on Halo games. They've introduced a bunch of cool concepts, like, again, you use the left trigger to zoom down, and you float with the jetpack while you're in the air jumping. That's amazing.
That will be fucking amazing to master.
Yeah, Spark Charge.
It probably feels incredible to get all
that. It does, yeah. Like, you can get headshots, just as if you're on the ground, while you're floating in the air. So you can jump up from somewhere. Like, I play SWAT.
That's
from Halo 2 with the Master Chief, and people jump up and shoot you in the head and jump down. Imagine like being able to jump up and you're floating and you're shooting people with SWAT.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's as far as Halo goes, it's crazy how much they've improved it and fine tweaked, I feel like.
That'd be awesome for like rocket launchers and stuff.
Yeah.
Just taking out warthogs. I'm sure it'll be amazing.
I think
it's just like at first. Like obviously I can't give like a full-on rating of it or like any impressions, because like my first impressions are just it feels like Halo and I don't really like it.
I still think your final impressions are going to be the same way,
probably.
It's just I like the old Halo stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
well, so do I,
even for this nostalgic value. Like, but don't you feel like it's an improvement on the old Halo? I don't know, or have you not gotten enough? Maybe
I haven't gotten enough.
Why does Dad hate it?
Probably because he died three times in a row.
That's the reason why I hated it at first. It fucking sucks, and then I got like four kills. Like, it's pretty sweet. God.
My kill death ratio is so low. It's probably like 0.3. I get my ass kicked in this game. People are so good at Halo.
I don't like it. I don't like a game that I can't be good at. Just because...
I need to get my head back in Halo first person shooter, because it's a totally different thing. Like
you gotta turn the sensitivity up to 80%. You gotta fucking...
Yeah.
You got to play with your team. You got to all be together.
I'll say you don't like a game that you can't be good at.
I can't be good at Halo.
If you spent as much time playing as you did Battlefield, you would.
No. Okay. I've always broken controllers playing Halo.
Yeah. Is that how you measure the worth of a game?
And that's when I was good.
Well, anyway. It's nice to see that you're excited about it. I'd like to hear Dan's opinion.
Yeah, the big Halo fan, Dan does not care for it so far. But that's just knee-jerk reaction after it.
I don't know, man.
You didn't give your graphic reaction. You asked me what I thought of it, but then...
Okay, Dan's is horrible. I think it's not a giant leap forward, but it's a small leap. Like, one thing I didn't mention to you is, like, the lighting. Like, there's... I think about, actually, the comparison you made...
Give me a break. Those games don't look that... No.
Hang on. This is just... You know the comparison you made between Forza 2 and your Need for Speed?
Yeah.
And how there's much more going on? Halo feels like there's much more going on.
Okay, well, Need for Speed uses a lens. Does Halo use a lens?
There's like
flares, mud on, like mud on your fucking visor. That's what I want to see.
Well, yeah, there's always a visor in Halo, right?
Yeah, but is there mist?
There's
jeez.
No, but there's like...
I mean, this is like GameCube. This is GameCube technology here.
It feels...
I want to see, yeah.
Much more glares. Alive than Halo 4 okay. in that regard.
I was really upset when Destiny like pulls you out of the visor and like you're essentially in front of your visor, which is a big problem for me. Mm. Big problem.
Well, you saw the fucking light. What's it called? Light rifle is really cool. The sights are on the right, and then they expand, and it feels like you're in a visor.
I actually, that's cool. I didn't like those.
And it doesn't disrupt.
I thought that was really weird. But I mean,
it's bizarre.
It was just a weird kind of like why? Like, what is this? Like, I don't know.
A gimmick. But I fucking bought in.
No, I mean, it's a petty thing to not like. I just wasn't into it, that's all.
Oh, okay.
If you like it, then you're into it. I don't like organic alien technology in my sci-fi. Like, floating things that expand out and it's just... The shit that they pull in Destiny where everything just kind of dissolves and, like, will float inside, like...
I know what you mean.
The density of something can float through something and that kind of stuff, too. I like really grounded sci-fi. Like, I guess a good example is Prometheus. Like, where everything could feel like it was built on Earth. That's kind of where my wheelhouse is. And you know, the brightly colored enemies that we see in these games, and I'm really not into it. It feels too cartoony for me. As real as it could be, as, like...
Halo's always been kind of cartoony.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I didn't like about that franchise was...
You're fighting the fucking grunts.
Yeah, like Disney characters.
That's the worst part. Yeah. Their heads pop with...
But I mean, going into like that weird part about what I like about sci-fi, like that's why I didn't like that gun. It was cool, but it's just not for me. You know what I mean? Like with those, it goes over your face, like that the scope kind of. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about because when I read like fantasy books and shit, I like the ones that are really grounded in reality. But I don't know that Halo.
How do you like in Mass Effect?
Mass Effect is the best. Especially now that I'm reading the book. Now that I read the book, and they're talking about like discovery of like the mass relay and shit. Oh my god,
that was the coolest
fucking thing. That's what totally got me into it.
Mm, yeah,
was that book?
It's crazy how much it's actually like Star Trek, which is weird for me because I wasn't a Star Trek fan at all. But like the whole ship thing and like the I mean, I guess there's no like what's the Enterprise, the where they all sit.
The con? No, that's the main.
It's like a captain's quarters, you know? Like, you got the bridge.
The bridge, yeah.
You got the bridge. There's nothing like that. Like, I don't think the Normandy is a battleship. So there's no bridge. There's no, like, tactical area. But, I mean, I digress. Mass Effect.
Yeah,
so.
You want to open that up? Yeah, Mass Effect is amazing. And it filled a hole that I didn't realize was there. Is the best
way
to put it. I love role-playing games, and I've gotten away from them. And it mostly started with to make fun of my Japanese like Final Fantasy games and shit.
Yeah.
And it was like a role-playing game where I had multiple characters to choose from, and I could build them up separately. But science fiction. You know, like, I don't really read a lot of science fiction books. I read mostly fantasy and old stuff. And I never really jumped into something so great of a story that's science fiction.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
It's constantly referencing... Like, how does this cool sci-fi idea affect humans? And, like, what happened when humans learned about this? And what do these alien races think about humanity and our reputation and how we do things and all that stuff? Like, humans have a very American mentality in the Mass Effect universe.
Yes.
And it's like, what would you do if America, like, made it into space, you know? And, like, that's kind of on your shoulders. You know, I kind of like that. They're like, you guys are arrogant, and like, you've got so much potential, but like, you don't know what to do with it. Like, the fact that we were able to get on, you know, the council or the specters.
Yeah.
Like, the quickest race to ever become, to ever have a specter representative was human race. And it's like, where some people take that as like a negative, and they don't like how arrogant, you know, and how
like power hungry or
just how ambitious the human race is. Yeah. When like, there's other races like the not the Asari, but what are they?
Quarian. Turian.
Tali.
Quarian.
How like they take such a long time to evolve and like to become mature. I guess the Asari are the same way. Where it's like a mature human is 20 years old. A mature Asari is like 80 or 90. Yeah, like 100 years old.
Young one,
it's like
she was 100 something.
It's how quick, like how short our lifespans are, and how that affects our ambition. Like it touches on so many awesome things.
Those are like almost smaller nuances of the story too. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
The overlining story is utterly amazing. The idea of like
dark space. And
I just like the Prothean thing, like, and how, like, it's a cycle, and we're just part of a bigger thing, and, you know, the Protheans jump forward 50,000 years and communicated to us through some, like, you know, like, the Mass Effect story was only able to exist, Shepard was only able to stop Sovereign because of the Protheans 50,000 years ago taking steps to, like, you know what I mean, like, to lay the foundation so long ago.
Like, the next cycle.
Yeah,
of life needs to know this.
Honestly, I kept comparing it to, well, not a lot, but a little bit, like, we talked about Gateway. In the Hishi, or like exactly like that. You said Kyle said it's just like the book. That's where they really break from it, is the idea of like it's a continuous cycle, and the Protheans are just like humans. They're just one race, and they had the technology. And who knows, maybe even Protheans didn't create the technology. It was just the knowledge of races past a million years
well,
ago.
Well, I mean, it's just like in the movie Her, right? Where sentient AI can evolve so rapidly.
Right.
You know, like, that they could become so overpowered very quickly, right? So it's like, it's really the first sentient AI, and how long ago did they actually...
I don't know, the creators of the Protheans.
Not the creators of the Protheans.
Yeah, you're talking about...
I'm talking about the creators of the Reapers.
The Sovereign, yeah.
And they created themselves, right? It's like Skynet. So it's like, as soon as that happened, the Reapers decided, like, I don't know what they're doing, but they come back and they harvest... Like, it's like they harvest life, do they not? Like, and
okay,
it takes
so this is, I don't
50,000 years
what
for them
Mass Effect 2 deals with yet, but they do a good job of making you not care about the motivations of the Reapers, right? They say it doesn't really matter. They have their own motivations, which are beyond our comprehension as a small, you know,
we live
for only so many thousands of years. And I don't know if Mass Effect 2 touches on that, but...
You had the conversation with Sovereign, correct, right? Like, did you spend a lot of time in that conversation?
I didn't speak with Sovereign.
Sovereign is the,
don't you?
Sovereign is the Reaper.
Yeah, you speak with him in a.
It's shortly after you. Okay, what did you do with the Rachni?
From the conversation with the Prothean database or whatever.
What did you do with the Rachni? The Rachni Queen.
I let him go. Let her go.
I got some more questions. Who did you save first? Like, you have the ability. At a certain point in the game, you can decide whether you want to go get, who is it?
Kaiden?
Rex or Tali?
Rex, Tali, or Arya? Is it not Arya? Liara. I know there's something, if you don't choose those right, it could break things.
Really?
Well, explain to me what you're expecting, because I don't...
Okay, well, what happened with you and Liara?
Is she the Asari?
Yeah.
I don't know, I saved her from some prison and... She's like, oh, I did some research, and I wasted my life doing this research. You have all the answers from Sovereign.
I've heard that if you on a whim decide to go there last, she's been in that chamber too long, and she's just done.
She was the last person I picked up.
Really?
And I was like, when am I going to get this short person with no arms? And that's her silhouette in the character selection screen.
Oh, so maybe like you did enough right in the game that she was still... Because she's a pretty big part of the first game, but you have to get her first, obviously, right?
I don't understand how it's possible. Well, I guess maybe you just don't do the missions on the Citadel to pick up Rex.
Well, don't you remember? You killed an Asari, right? There was an Asari who was kind of with chilling out with... who's the bad guy?
Saren.
There's an Asari who's in league with Saren.
I don't remember.
Anyway, well, that's Liara's mom, right? So if you did that first, before you met Liara, you wouldn't get that connection. Like, that wouldn't be as important to you. That's probably why it's a forgettable character. Because you didn't care, like, you didn't have Liara there to talk.
I never used her, and she just, storyline didn't affect anything.
Oh, cool.
That's why.
Well.
Who'd you pack?
Yeah, who'd you pack?
No one.
No? Could you? You could in the first one.
You could, yeah.
How?
I'm pretty sure you could.
I was super nice to Ashley. She was there from the beginning.
You like Ashley? She killed
Rex.
No, I didn't at all.
You're nice to her even though she's racist?
There was a girl. Her name was Ashley. She was human. And I knew the idea of packing someone was possible. And I was like, I'm nice to her. And I was nice to other girls as well. But I kept Ashley at my party. And I talked to her and shit. And I was nice and gave her good answers. And
so then she Caden killed
Rex.
Then?
And I just turned on her. I was like,
oh,
you're a fucking asshole. And you deserve to die. And then I got the opportunity to kill
her. You left Ashley behind.
Absolutely.
That's hurt. Him and I both.
We'll see what happens in the rest of Mass Effect, but I hate how they treated Rex's situation. That they
you better make sure you got and walk over. You got two games of Caden coming on to you.
Hey, come on.
Well, I got what's her face now? The
Miranda?
Cerberus, yeah, Miranda.
Ooh, she's fine too.
Yeah. So
don't worry, you got somebody.
She's fine too.
There's a warm bed with her.
You guys kept talking about a blue chick.
What? Liara?
Is that supposed to be Liara? That's Liara. It's weird that that's...
Well, you'll come around.
Yeah, she was just nothing for me, so we'll see.
She's what a about
the short redhead chick?
She's a little bitch in the first one.
In the ship in the second one.
Jack?
She's probably pretty...
Oh, funny. Wait a minute. Oh, Kelly?
That might have been Kelly.
Yeah, the one that's at the console or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, she finds
it. I might do just more than... Whatever, like, I don't know. Just like
that's your Shepard
person? Super, yeah, it was super, I don't know. There's a lot of chemistry there.
How far are you into Mass Effect 2?
Not far at all. An hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I was telling
Best
you the other night.
Best start to any game of all time.
Oh, yeah, the intro.
You know what, you had said that, and I watched it. This is like a year ago when you said it, and I was like, that was good. But I felt it, obviously, so much more, having the backstory and everything, and just watching the Normandy get ripped apart.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Hey, what about the console? Human or alien?
Human or alien?
Is that the decision? You can choose to save
them. I let them live.
You save them?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What happens if they die? Just another...
I don't know. They're alive in the
second. Bunch of whizzies come in?
I think it's an all-human council if you let them die.
Really?
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Huh. Obviously you saved them.
I've saved them, yes. Mm. I mean, I've got a reputation to keep. I got to keep it classy.
Mass Effect 4, here we go.
There's no Mass Effect 4. It's one of the things I was telling you, like that 20-minute Q&A.
It probably won't be Mass Effect 4.
The first question was like, in Mass Effect 4...
You're going to be the race that creates the Reapers.
That's possible.
Imagine that fucking twist at the end of the game.
Just everyone dies and the Reapers live?
No, it would be... It would be like the AI that you built... 100 years later became, like,
it's the Matrix sentient. Origin story.
Yeah, it is the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's a classic story of machine versus man.
Do you know what the...
to see it, did, like, this bustling Earth. And they said the game's based on basically Earth. Exploration, right?
Yeah.
You're going from planet to planet, finding resources to build these amazing fucking monstrous machines to get from planet to planet.
The only problem is N7 is in the game.
It is N7?
Yeah. I don't know if it's confirmed, but they said, how do you feel about N7? And everyone was like, yeah, I feel a strong connection to N7. Unless N7 is like a human, like, exploration group.
Yeah, but...
The Enterprise.
They wouldn't be alive in the first cycle.
Oh, they wouldn't.
On Earth.
Okay, I don't know enough about N7, but, like, where does it come from? Maybe it was derived from whatever this is.
Possibly.
They kept that
it could be a, idea could have been alive a symbol and, on the...
Yeah, like... recreated N7. I don't know what N7 really is, to be honest.
A symbol on the Prothean mining facility?
Yeah.
Do you know what the Genophage is?
No.
Sure. Yeah. Rex.
I don't know if they get
into it. Oh, yeah, they killed the race one every thousand. Yeah, Genophage.
The Genophage. What else?
N7 was responsible for the Genophage?
You mentioned that you flew through the first game.
I did.
And then I said you should have the opposite of approach. Now, I'm not saying that you need to, like... No, and to the second game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a lot of great character. And I don't know. I don't want you to miss anything. I don't think you're going
to
replay.
If I go around to the planets and explore them, there's like story that unravels or like character development?
No, the first game is just, you know, you're out there, you're looking for loot, pretty much.
Did you do any of that?
No, I skipped over all of it.
That's essentially gone. You can scan planets for resources, you send probes down, and it's like a mini game.
Yeah, I did that the first time I played it.
You can upgrade your ship, and your ship gets stronger when you go
to
fight. That little rover thing, which I absolutely hate, by the way, in the Mass Effect 1.
The Mako,
yeah.
Yeah.
I got used to it by the end.
But what I'm saying is when you have time on the ship, go and talk to people.
Oh, you know,
get into them, learn a little bit about them and stuff. It's cool. You'll definitely appreciate it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I had all those conversations that could possibly be had.
Yeah.
And then when there was an opportunity for new conversations, I went and had those.
And they're even better in Mass Effect 2.
So good in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Fane is awesome.
I do feel like they improved upon already, like, the options you can have. Like, they were more diverse. Like,
I don't even want
to
spoil. Before,
all roles led to the same thing in Mass Effect 1. In Mass Effect 2, it's less so.
Like, so... Rex is dead.
He's dead.
Ashley's dead.
Ashley's dead.
Hmm. Okay.
Sounds like my universe.
I don't want Rex to be dead. I can't believe there was an opportunity to save him. Blows my mind.
I couldn't fucking do it. The first time I played through, I guess I did a renegade thing and I saved him somehow. But second time, it was just like, no, no, no. We were just yelling at each other and she just... What the fuck?
You can make a whole game around the genophage of the human race, and people would care if you fucking shot the human who was trying to, like, oh, wait, genophage? Fuck everything I'm doing. All I care about now is fixing the genophage.
You're fairly new with Mass Effect 2. Have you met Morden?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to pin this Mass Effect the rediscovering of Mass Effect.
It sounds like there's more to it. I'm glad there is.
A new segment on the show. A new segment on the show, Rediscover Mass Effect, brought to you by TJ Burke.
Hey, we didn't talk about Mirror's Edge 2 as what being about part of the games of 2015.
Oh, right, yeah.
We'll all play that.
If it comes out.
Single player?
It's gotta be this year.
I think maybe I can also wait to talk about Swapper until you've played through it and you kind of have a little more, like a better idea of it's more than just a puzzler.
Oh, really?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
There's puzzles, but there's also some really cool stuff. Like, as far as, like, the sci-fi ideas behind it, like, are very, very cool.
The idea of, like, cloning yourself, killing yourself, probably?
Yeah. Obviously, it has that, yeah.
The opening video, maybe, like, the atmospheric, like, going into this, like, desolate world where he's just by himself and he's got tools to do this. I was kind of hoping they did that. So I'm glad to hear that there's more than just...
Well, it's not only that, it's like there's other races involved that you get a little bit into their backstory and kind of what's going on with them.
Really?
But yeah, it's mostly the whole idea of like the repercussions of creating clones and, you know, what effect that would have on, like, essentially as soon as you create a clone of yourself, neither of you can know which one is the clone. Neither of you will ever know. For sure.
Why? You would know.
No way.
I created
the one who created the one.
Okay, well, if we're talking about using the swapper machine.
Oh, like they both have the memory of creating this themselves?
Yes. Well, have you ever seen...
That's interesting.
You've seen The Prestige, right?
Yes.
So it's a clone machine, and as soon as there's two in the machine, they immediately start to try and kill each other. It's just that idea. And, like, what happens when you swap into the clone? Like, what happens to the soul of you, your previous body? You know what? Because it's not just creating clones. It's swapping in and out between clones.
Right.
And, I don't know. I always thought that was really, really cool. Like, we are getting into it now. That's the idea in the game. Like, and
sure, but you're not... You're keeping it... We'll talk more about what actually they... delve into, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I just want to know how you personally feel about it.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, maybe it's boring radio.
Okay, well, we'll see.
It's probably awesome radio.
I'll be playing it through.
Yeah, play it through.
In the coming week or two.
Okay. Do we have anything else?
I don't know. What else we got in here?
All I wanted to talk about was Mass Effect. I'm glad we did.
That's everything.
That's everything. All right. Wrap it up.
Oh, boys. I don't think I can do it.
Okay, thanks for listening to the All Rage Mode podcast. You can find us on allrangemode.com. Anything that you wanted to comment on, you know, any comments or feedback, you can head to allrangemode.com and leave a comment in the feedback thread directly under the show heading. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/allrangemodepodcast. We're on Twitter, ARM Podcast. And if you like the show, leave us a favorable review on iTunes, please.
You.
Episode 100's coming up. Any ideas that you guys would like to hear about and you'd like to hear us talk about and all that, let us know and we'll try and make a good show for you.
Yeah. We got some ideas. We're trying to put it together, but we'd love to hear from you for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, if you guys had any favorite times of the last 100 episodes that you listened to.
If you want any guest stars. Let us know
the exact minute. Episode.
Guest star Fano, guest star Tim Haslam,
guest star Dan Derby,
guest star Doug LaPointe, and guest star Kyle Burley. If you wanted to hear from any of those guys or what they've been up to, let us know and we'll patch them in.
What?
So that's All Range Mode out.
94 episodes.
Out. Bunch of cock-o little freakies.